Good to be back with you this morning, and once again, opening God's Word and taking a look at really His plan for our lives. The last few weeks, we've been going through the book of Acts, and our plan is to continue through the book of Acts. We're in chapter 3 today, and it's one of the, in some ways, very parallel to what we saw in chapter 2, and that there was a great miracle, and then using that miracle, Jesus is presented. But I'd like to start this morning with the end of chapter 2. Remember from last week, if we looked at chapter 2, Peter really opens the door of the kingdom to the world. He presents to us one of the great gospel sermons that we have recorded. And notice what happens after the end of his sermon. This is in chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. It says, "Those who received the word were baptized, and there added to their day about 3,000 souls." Now, if you look at that, I don't know if you've ever remember having gospel meetings. When I was growing up, we had gospel meetings and revivals, and lots of times, lots of people would go forward. And sometimes you'd have quite a few people even going forward to be baptized. I can remember one time at camp, we had like about a dozen of the young people went forward to be baptized all at one time. But can you imagine being there on here, this first time the sermon's been preached, and have 3,000 people go forward? I mean, isn't that just kind of almost just kind of blows you away, doesn't it? Think about 3,000 people came forward all to be baptized. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayer. Notice their fellowship was all together. They all came upon every soul, and wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. And all who believed together had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds of all as anyone had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Now, hopefully this, as John already mentioned, on this weekend, we think about Thanksgiving and all the things we have to be thankful for, and all the generosity of our Lord. Look at the early church here in Jerusalem. Everything is going just about as good as you could ask for it to go. Here, their physical needs are being taken care of because they're sharing with each other as they need to. They have fellowship. They're meeting almost daily in each other's houses. The fellowship is there. And notice that word, that they had favor with all the people. So even those that weren't even Christians were seeing what was going on. There in Jerusalem, they had favor with everybody. At the end of chapter 2, it's almost like, how could things be any better than they possibly were? I mean, the church is growing, it's spreading out, they're in fellowship one with another, they're taking care of each other, they have that love for each other, their favor of all people. Everything is going about as good as it can go. I don't know if you keep track of movies, but there's a new Star Wars movies coming out. And most of us remember the first Star Wars movies. We saw those years and years ago. And the end of the first Star Wars movies, everything's going good. But if you remember the title of the second one, The Empire Strikes Back, that's really what's going to happen in the next three or four chapters of Acts. Satan is going to strike back. Satan sees what's happening. He sees the church is just everything's going good. He's not going to lay down and take it. And he's going to attack the church in the same way he really attacks us. We're going to see this more in chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7. But you're going to see Satan strike back. He's first going to strike back physically. He's going to call Peter and John and the other apostles before the Sanhedrin, and they were going to get really dressed down, and they were going to be flogged. And that's pretty brutal. And we're going to see the physical attack upon the church. But he doesn't stop there. He then hits them with compromise. And the compromise he hits them with is one that's always dear to our hearts and Jesus spoke more about than anything else, money. They're going to be tempted with money in a couple different ways. Tempted to buy the Spirit. Even tempted to for those members they had that were selling their possessions, they could get sort of a higher position in the church. And so there's the idea of compromising for money that comes into the church. And the last one we're going to see is distraction and discord within the church itself. There's two groups of widows, and both of those are getting care of, but they're not getting taken care of the way they should be, perhaps. And so there comes a disagreement, an argument that our people aren't being cared for as well as your people. And so there's all of a sudden not quite so much fellowship. There's discord within the church. And it could have distracted the apostles away from what they needed to be doing. We see discord within the church. We see that. In fact, it's one of the great themes throughout the New Testament is how do we maintain our fellowship? Even Peter and Paul at one time have a disagreement. Paul and Barnabas, who are going great missionary journeys, they have a great argument between the two of those. In the book of Philippians, we have two sisters in Christ that have a disagreement. The book of Romans, the Jews and the Romans, how do they get together and have fellowship? There's always discord, always a possibility, and it can distract us. And Satan uses these things within the church, and we're going to see that in the rest of the book of Acts, is Satan's attack upon the church. Because at the end of chapter 2, everything is going about as good as you could want it to go. But it's not going to end there as we go through the book. And it's the same warning that we have to us today. Because Satan is, and the world is always there. And it's always there to compromise us or distract us or keep us from doing what we need to be doing. Now in chapter 3, we start off with one of the great miracles. Peter and John's on their way to the temple for prayer. They see a man there that's it's basically 40 years old, that's been crippled from birth. And he comes and says, basically he wants a handout. He's there as a beggar. And he looks at them expecting them to give him some money. And Peter says, gold and silver we do not have. There's a famous quote by Thomas Aquinas many years later, when the Pope of the Catholic Church is sitting there counting all the gold and silver they do have. And he says, now, you know, Peter and John didn't have anything. Now the church has plenty of silver and gold. And Thomas Aquinas says, yes, but does the church say, rise and walk? Does the church meet our spiritual needs the way that it did at the time of Peter and John? One of the things that we see that the apostles shared was not necessarily the physical gold and silver, but they shared what was really meaningful. They shared Jesus. We think this time of hopefully Thanksgiving of all the great physical blessings that we have. But one of the things, do we always think about the great spiritual blessings? And do we share, a lot of physical blessings this time of year. It's a good time of giving. But do we share and give those things that are lasting, the spiritual gifts that we have? And we'll see that as we go through, because Peter takes this opportunity to preach to them Jesus. He shares that which is really meaningful and that which lasts. Romans 8, Paul talks about the great suffering he has. Says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. Do we look at it that way? Do we look at the spiritual blessings as being so much more wonderful than even the physical that we think about? And do we share those spiritual blessings, those things that are going to last, not temporary, that don't pass away? Because all the physical does. Even we pray for health and we pray for because of sickness, but we're all eventually physically going to die on this world unless the Lord comes back first. But there are blessings that we can give each other that can last eternally. And sometimes we need to make sure that we're thinking that way. Look with me now at what Peter says. And he introduces the sermon. And look at how he introduces it. Why he clung, well, that's what the man that was hung, to Peter and John. All the people were utterly astonished and ran to them to the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? And why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? One of the things Peter does from the very beginning, he shifts the focus from them and even what they've done to what God has been doing. And notice how he brings out with this in the sermon. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified the servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, and whom he decided to release. But you denied the holy and righteous one, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by the faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. The faith that is through Jesus and has given this man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Now I want you to notice how he starts this section. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The first time we see that is when Moses, as was mentioned just a few minutes ago, that's how God introduces himself to Moses. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God that Isaac followed. I am the God of these people. I am the God that's always been here. And the God that always will be here. And so he takes them back to a firm fitting that they could all agree upon. God, but not just any way to introduce God. He introduces in the same way that Moses did. This is the same phrase that Jesus uses when he refers to basically the same passage that Moses, when he talks about the resurrection. This is the God that's been here, that was with these men, and now is with us now. It's the same God. And notice when he brings out to them. What did they do versus what God did? They denied Christ and was willing to accept a murderer in the place of, notice, the author of life. He contrasts the author of life with this idea of a murderer. He says, you asked for a murderer instead of the very author of life. But God glorified him. He raised him from the dead. Now I want you to think about, it's easy for us to take a look at these people and think, well, you know, they crucified Jesus. They were pretty bad people. But think about us. Have we done that much different? We may not think we call out for a murderer versus the author of life. But how often do we deny Christ ourselves? The Hebrew writer says when we deny Christ in our lives, we crucify him afresh, just as they did. And so often we might do it in little ways and not think about it. How often do we seek just the physical things of this world over the spiritual, over those things that really matter? How often do we except a little compromise here or there? The church is going to be compromised with money. But how often do we take a little compromise with money ourselves? One of the things that were brought out to me this last week, some of you may know, Linda and I have been involved in one of the community bands. And one of the things the band does, totally a nonprofit band, just for community service, but they have raffles to raise money. And a lot of times we think, well, raffle, that's real harmless. I mean, you know, half the money goes to the band and half of it goes back to whoever buys the raffle tickets. But a raffle is just a way of gambling. And it's just a little way, and you say, well, it's for a good cause. There's lots of ways we compromise on little ways. The lottery itself, well, that's good. It's going for education. But it's basically gambling. And there's so many little ways that we can compromise, especially with money. There's so many, because we can just sort of cut the corner here a little bit because, it's money. You know, it really matters to us. And the things that don't matter to us, it's pretty easy to give those guys up. But the things that are really matter to us, we cut corners there. That's compromise. And that's the way, just those little compromises is the way Satan distracts us today, just as he tried to do the church that we're seeing for them. And so when we look at these people and we think about, you know, they crucified Jesus, how bad could you be? But are we all that much different when we choose the things of this world over the things that are of Christ? Christ made the point. He says there's two roads to travel. There's not any third road. There's not any road that goes parallel. You can't get off the highway and just travel on the side. You either travel on the road that leads to life or the road that leads to death. The road that leads to eternal life or to be destroyed. And there's no other way to go. And sometimes we want to just cut those corners. And so it's easy to look at these people and think, you know, they yelled to crucify Christ. They chose a murderer over the author of life. But we have to be careful not to think we're so much different in the way that we choose the things that we choose. Look at the way that Peter goes on with this sermon. As he gets... He said, the God of... I'm sorry. 17. Now, brothers, you know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. The God foretold by his mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer and thus be fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out and the times of refreshing may come to you from Jesus, from heaven, and receive the time of restoring things that God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets. Now, I want you to notice what He says. Repent, turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of my refreshing may come from the Lord, and that He may send Christ appointed for you, that is Jesus, from heaven, and may receive at the time restoring all things that God spoke. The idea goes through the Scriptures that this has always been God's plan, but notice the promise that's made. And it's, to me, it's one of the great promises in all the Scriptures. First, forgiveness, the removal of guilt. How often do we really forgive ourselves and just kind of carry some of that guilt along with us? You have total forgiveness. But then notice that next expression. To me, it's one of the great expressions anywhere in times of refreshing. Isn't that a neat expression? Times of refreshing. We live in a world a lot of times and things just kind of spin around and sometimes we don't know where we're even going. And sometimes we lose that peace that comes from being in Christ. Times of refreshing. That peace that surpasses all understanding that's only found when we turn to Jesus. It's not found in this world. And we can seek for it all we want in this world, but there's no security, there's no peace in this world. It comes from the Lord. Times of refreshing. I just love that expression. Because it's really what, isn't it what we all want? We just want that time of refreshing from the Lord and to have Christ, to be filled with the spiritual blessings that come only from Christ our Lord and our Savior. That's what's promised. And that's what Peter ended his sermon, this part of the sermon, with, that times of refreshing and that you might receive Christ. When we're in Christ, we're the very temple of the Holy Spirit, as we've looked at before. Christ is with us. He's not a God of afar. He's a God that's always close by us, always there to comfort us, always there to receive us, always there to lead us day by day as He would have us. But Peter doesn't end his sermon there. He has one more little spot that we come into, and this comes in so that he ends it with a slight warning. He talked about that all the prophets, going all the way back to Moses. But he says, look at what Moses said. The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul that does not listen to the prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel to those who came after him have proclaimed these days. You are sons of the prophet and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of earth be blessed. Now, Peter does a couple things in this last section. He ties it all the way back to Abraham. He shows that this is the continuing of God's plan all the way back. And now it's being completed now. It's the same God that's always loved you and has always been there for you. But it's also the same God that always required obedience. If you do not listen, that idea, if you do not listen, you're going to be cut off. The idea of listen is more than just hearing. It's the idea of obedience, that you listen and obey. And if you don't listen and obey, it's the same now as it's always been with God. You're going to be cut off from the people. So in other words, you have a choice to make. You have a choice. And the choice that Peter lays out for these people is really a tremendous choice. It goes out all the way back to the author of life and choosing a murderer. You can choose life or death, is what Peter really is telling them. You can choose times of refreshing, life in Christ, or you can choose this world, which is going to pass away, that leads to destruction. And he says that choice has always been there. God, through His prophets, has always had the idea of repentance. Repentance has always been, as we saw through the teachings of Jesus, that idea of either turning to God or turning away from God. Which road are you going to travel? And that's the way Peter ends this section with, you can choose times of refreshing or you can choose the ways of this world. But you've got to make that choice. We see that throughout the book of Acts, the idea of a choice, one way or the other, that the choice is always laid out to us. But the great promises are too. I mean, I still, whenever I read this section, that phrase, times of refreshing, just keeps coming back. Because it's such a wonderful thought. Times of refreshing, to be refreshed by our Lord, to know that we have Him, to know we have that security of being in Christ, that we don't have to worry about the things of this world because we have Christ. That's what Peter offers them, and it's what's offered to us today. Four thoughts, and the message is yours this morning. First, they had great evidences of Christ. They had the miracles of this man being healed and the resurrection. We, too, today have the great evidences of our God. It's always before us. There's always the reasons there. Second, we have to be aware that Satan is always at work today, just as he was there. He's always there. There's always the physical elements of this world to tempt us. There's always just a little compromise that we can make. There's always distractions that the world has for us. Satan is just as powerful and is just as active today as he was then. But the third is the promises are also there for us. The promises of a faithful God. And one of the things I think that Peter does is he goes back and reminds them of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because of the faithfulness of God to them is the same as the faithfulness of God to us. He's the same God. He's always been faithful to his people. And you can go back 2,000 years ago to Abraham and walk with God all the way through the Old Testament, and you see that faithfulness. Is always said, those promises that God made to those people, he fulfilled, and he will fulfill those promises to us today. Times of refreshing is that promise that's made to us, and the promise of being in Christ and the security that brings. And lastly, we need to think about, are we generous in sharing those things that really matter? Peter says, silver and gold I can't give you, but I can give you what really matters. Do we do that? Sometimes we give silver and gold so that we don't have to do anything else. And do we really share those things that really matter? Our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ and the promises of a times of refreshing. This morning, let's make sure we're generous people, sharing not just benevolence and money as we need to, but truly sharing those things that last for all eternity, sharing our Lord and Savior, sharing those times of refreshing with everyone that we can, our friends, our neighbors, everyone that we have an opportunity to share with. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ and haven't known those times of refreshing, there'll never be a better time to put your Savior on in baptism, just as these people did, and be baptized into Christ, starting that new walk, that newness of life. Or if you've started that walk, but you've gotten off the path, think about coming back and really, truly following your Lord and Savior every day. If you need to come in any way, once you come, it's together we stand and sing.